Do you have learners who are beyond the basics yet still struggle with language and comprehension? Has your learner outgrown all your usual assessments? And how do you program for someone who is more complex than you were taught during your ABA supervision? We get these questions on a regular basis. So we're going to do a 3-hour workshop on this exact topic in person at ABAI. If you're going to ABAI this year in Philadelphia, come join us on Thursday, May 23rd from 4 to 7 p.m. when we discuss beyond rote responding, programming for the intermediate to advanced learner. Look for workshop number 6 in your program book or follow the link in this podcast. Sign up ahead of time so you don't miss out. You will also earn 3 ACE Learning CEUs.
Hi, I'm Shira Karpow.
And I'm Shayna Gaunt, and we're board-certified behavior analysts. At How-To ABA, we provide practical resources, community, and support to ABA professionals. In each episode of our podcast, we will be having real conversations with real people sharing real stories about ABA.
We'll share relevant strategies and actionable tips that will make us all better ABA practitioners. It's the ABA content you need that you're not going to learn in a textbook.
Life skills are critical skills that our learners need to become independent. So why is teaching life skills important for our learners and how can we do it effectively? So we had a life skills lesson this morning where my neighbor's car needed to be jumped and my husband was around and he was about to go over and help them. And we remembered that, you know, we have a teenage son who just learned to drive and it's really important that he learn this because it may come up when we're not around. So my husband brought him with and showed him how to jump a car. So, you know, we have all the BST components in this where he was able to show him. And then as they came back, I hear my husband going through the steps, right? Because you've got to do them in order. Otherwise, you're in a little bit of trouble. And, you know, my son was like, well, why do I have to do that first before this one? And he's going through all the steps on how to jump a car. And in my head, I'm thinking, I need to write a tech analysis for this. That would probably kill me. But yeah, that's really teaching life skills and why it's so important for a lot of people, but especially for our learners.
So I guess the question is, you know, what are life skills? Life skills are probably everything, but let's look at what they include. They include executive functioning skills, daily living skills, personal care, occupational skills, safety awareness, social skills, self-advocacy. I could go on and on and on and on about what life skills are, more than just dressing and toileting, right? Lots and lots of positives when teaching life skills too. Like obviously, you know, we think about teaching communication and language, but life skills, I would argue, are just as important as communication.
Yeah, the ability of an individual to, you know, enhance their life skills will directly affect their quality of life as they grow up and as they become adults. And it's not just about whether or not they can brush their teeth. It's about whether they can advocate for themselves, whether they can self-manage, whether they can be completely independent with certain routines, whether they can initiate certain routines. So it's a lot of things to think about around just that skill. And a lot of those things will greatly impact their level of independence as an adult and also like their quality of life.
And I also think their self-esteem, right? With the more independence that one has, you know, the more their self-confidence will grow as well.
And also a lot of when we work with students as children, there often are a lot of adults around and we sometimes even subconsciously get them used to somebody always helping them because independence might be challenging or initiations might be challenging or advocating for themselves. But what we want to really be aware of when we're teaching life skills is what do they need to learn if I wasn't here? And how could I take myself completely out of this picture? Because if I wasn't here, then would they be able to do this? You know, we're working with a student who he's a teenager. So he's, you know, on the older end where he's really working on life skills. And one of the tasks they do is they get ready to go to the store that they're doing a placement in, their vocational training. And they need to get the bag and they need to remember to line up. And I asked the staff, I said, well, how does he know it's time to get the bag? And he said, well, I tell him. And then I said, but he's like, and sometimes he forgets. And I said, well, what happens if he forgets the bag? He said, I remind him. I tell him, go get the bag. And what I said to the staff member was, if you weren't here, what can we put in place so that he can do those things without you? Whether it's a timer to remind him it's time to go to work, or it's a visual cue that is hanging by the door that says, don't forget your bag, whatever you can do to remove the adult from the situation.
My favorite is, what's next? You know, we're so innocent when we do it. I do it sometimes as well. Like, okay, what do you have to do next? Okay, next on your schedule. And just that verbal cue is enough to keep me into the interaction. And that's the last thing we want. We want to fade ourselves completely out of the interaction. You know, we have another video blog and our podcast on teaching life skills to younger individuals. And, you know, that's great. But what about older individuals? And, you know, Cher and I are the first to say that if you have a young learner, start teaching life skills right from the get-go, you know, to start teaching, obviously, toileting, but dressing skills, washing hands, some of that independence when they're really, really young, so that, you know, as they get older, they have those skills. But what if you are in a situation like I'm in, where I work at a group home and I have never worked with these individuals before? I never worked with them when they were three. So, you know, they're coming to me when they're 20, 30 years old, and they still, you know, don't know how to dress themselves, or they still don't know how to eat independently. What do you do then? So how do you work with adults and teach them the necessary life skills that could be argued could have been taught younger, but that the past is in the past, right? Lucky for you guys, we are doing a CEU all about that. We're going to be doing a CEU on Wednesday, April 17th at 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And it's called Programming Essential Life Skills for Adolescents and Adults. We have a lot of our members and non-members who are asking us about, well, I work with adolescents or I work with adults. What do we do? Shana, we know you work in a group home. Can you show us some of the things that we do? So our goal in this workshop is to take you through some of the profiles of older learners and go through some of them. And then we can discuss how we assess and how we program for them. And then if there's time permitting, we can also discuss some of the programs, which would be life skills, and how we write some of those programs as well.
But when you're working with young adults or even adults, you want to think about what is important for them to be as independent as possible. And even if they can't be as independent as possible, what are some of the things that we could do to support them? So you're looking at the big skills and then breaking down those skills into smaller steps. We'll very often use something like a task analysis so that we know what those smaller steps are. We know what their level of independence is with all of those steps within the task analysis. We can use chaining to teach those steps on the task analysis, and then use visuals and practice. One of the questions I got recently about, you know, working with an adult or a young adult was like, he can never really be independent. Like, is it even really worth it? And our job is to not think about like, you know, pure 100% independence, but what are some of the workarounds that we can put in place in order to promote a little bit more independence? You know, I'll give you an example. One of the students that we're working with are learning how to sort laundry by labels. Okay. I don't even know how to read laundry labels. I find them super confusing. So a couple options are, well, if the student can't really figure out how to sort laundry, you can either just have clothing that can all be mixed together and just do one load of clothing. I also came across an app where you can take a picture of the label on your phone, and the learner can be taught to do this. And then it gives you exact instructions of what to do. So there's so many ways to be creative around certain skills that we want our learners to have, that we can implement technology, visuals, other types of supports, that they may not learn that skill to 100% independence, and that might be okay.
You know, there's other skills too, like for instance, nail cutting. And that's something that I never think of. I never think about teaching a five-year-old how to cut his nails. But what we do need to think about is, if a learner who's 30 can't cut their nails, maybe that's okay if they have got one-to-one support, but you know, that learner still needs to tolerate somebody else cutting their nails. And a lot of the times, you know, they don't even do that. So even checking like that tolerance level, like, are they able to, you know, hold out their hand to somebody else and trust somebody else to be able to cut their nails? And that is a big life skill in and of itself. So even thinking about, well, if they can't do the life skill on their own, can they tolerate other people helping them?
Yeah, you have to think about everything in a way that individualizes it for the learner. There is really no one size fits all, always do this, or these are the life skills that you need to teach at this stage and at this level. You really have to look at the learner and think about, what are the skills that this learner needs in order to be most successful, right? And define most successful, that's also going to be different for every learner. You bring them into the conversation, ask them what their goals are. If there are stakeholders involved, then talking to them and thinking about what is your goal? Is it independence in the bathroom or is it crossing the street? Those are very different. And then individualizing some of the goals based on what's going to be really important in this individual's life.
And, you know, if you're looking and you're really interested in this topic, come to my CEU. It's in April, on April 17th. Also, we have videos on how to do a task analysis. We have, you know, other things in terms of teaching early executive functioning and teaching children with autism life skills as well.
So if you are working with those younger learners, then to still keep that in mind as they're getting older and becoming adults. In summary, we talked about how important teaching life skills is and really the best way to teach them to your learners who might be young adults.
Thanks for joining today's conversation. Wherever you get your podcast, please go and subscribe, rate and review so others can find out about us too.
For more from How to ABA, including free resources and ABA materials, visit our blog at howtoaba.com. And make sure that you're following us on social media for more practical tips and updates.